The author Jon Kabat-Zinn describes 7 attitudinal qualities that underpin mindfulness practice. Shane and I continue our discussion beyond beginner's mind, and we explore the roles that trust, non-striving, letting go, and gratitude bring to our quest for consciousness. These attitudinal qualities that Kabat-Zinn talks about, another one is non-striving, and that is the antithesis of our world, and the antithesis of the worlds that either of us came from. I still struggle with that. I think that one's really hard.
It is, because obviously when you think about non-striving, we need to strive to grow, right? We need to strive for the next step, the next level, because all essentially the part of all these attitudes is to continue growing and moving forward, right? So when I look at non-striving, I see it in a way, this might not be the way that it was intended, but I see it in a way as I'm not striving for something because it will give me happiness, because nothing can give me happiness apart from me. I see it as I'm not striving towards making this much money because it's going to make me happy. I'm striving towards it because I want it for good. Or do you get what I mean? I don't know if I'm explaining that right. It's not something that I need, right? So non-striving, when we strive for something and we become attached to it because we think it's going to make us happy, right? That's how I see it. So if you're not looking for something to make you happy because you're happy, happiness is within, that's how I kind of frame it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The reason I bring it up is, I'm working on a book, and certainly I have certain goals that I'd like to have the book hit. That's striving.
Right.
But I find that in doing it, if I can just immerse myself in the project, which I just love,
right,
and just stay with that mindset, whatever happens will be okay.
Absolutely. That's it. Whatever happens will be okay.
Yeah, and it's out of my hands, really. I mean, I have to go through all the steps and do the right things. But beyond that, I'm not sure how much control I really have.
We can only try, right? And I think as long as we just try and we're happy with what we put in, the effort and the love and the passion into what we do, what will happen will happen. And that's all we can do, right?
I think so. And it goes to trust too. Another component. And when it comes to trust, I always think of that Einstein quote, is the world a friendly place? The question inherently asks, do you have trust or do you have fear? And what you decide fundamentally defines how you view the world.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right.
But trust in the face of uncertainty is hard.
Very much so. It takes practice. trust in what will be. Takes practice. There's another saying about that, about people who say it is what it is. They're the people that just trust in the process, right? People, if you can say it is what it is, they say that then people are very dangerous because you can't penetrate through anything, because it's not that they don't care. It's just that they've learned that what will be, right? And that's powerful. I am actually someone that says that a lot, and it's to people who don't practice consciousness and awareness every day. It can be quite an annoying concept, you know.
Well, it goes to acceptance, and I think that that's another really powerful tool when you learn that you can't change some things. You just have to accept them, and then you move on from there. And accepting some of the bumps we have in life is not easy.
Oh, certainly not. Certainly not. But it's knowing and empowering yourself with the knowing that everything is a choice. When things happen in life that we really can't help, you know, there's so much that happens in life that that we can't help. You know, it just happens, things that are really difficult. And no matter how difficult a situation it is that's presented to us out of our hands, essentially, the next step is our choice.
Yes.
But we need to be aware to know that that next step is our choice, because we'd often get caught up in the situation of difficulty. And that's when we start telling ourselves, you know, illusionary stories of what might happen, and what, but we see it as what's going to happen. And that's not necessarily the truth. But with that deep awareness, we can shorten that time down from what could essentially be days, weeks, months, and years to, you know, a very short time. So yeah, essentially, you know, we can be in control next after that certain thing happens in life. But it takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of cultivation. A lot of cultivation.
It's constant. When I hit a bump, I think one of the first things I look at is, what can I learn? And that really goes to an internal perspective of what can I learn. It's not what can I learn about this event that happens. What can I learn about my reactions to it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a powerful thing that, again, many of us wouldn't look at it like that, you know, to look at it from a reaction point of view. How did we react? What did we do?
And why did we react that way? Is it some sort of internal programming? Was it really a choice?
Exactly. I mean, our reactions to things are all really essentially down to our experiences in life, aren't they? Our belief systems and what we've experienced that's instilled a reaction. Often our reaction, so when we have a difficult or hard or a not so pleasant reaction to something, we're always, or most often, we blame the thing that is in front of us, don't we? But the truth is, it's a trigger, because it's a trigger of something else. You've been taught to react that way in that certain situation. And that's why we all act differently. You take 10 people, make the same thing happen, everyone has a different reaction. And that's because every single person has a different belief system. And it always comes down to those belief systems and those, you know, how we look at the world, how we look at people, how we look at experiences, and how we frame them. And it all comes down to that. And that is the very roots. It's the belief systems, you know. It's often something we miss. Because even when, you know, when I've been coached in the past, one of the main things people have said to me is, we need to look at your mindset. And we look at mindset and you change it, but then you go back to your old patterns, right? It's like the New Year's resolution type thing, something that I'm not personally into, but it's one of them things where everyone makes a New Year's resolution. They say, I'm going to change my mindset. This is what I'm going to accomplish. And then only 20% of people actually continue to follow through. 80% fall back to their old ways. They don't know why. I changed my mindset. But that's not the roots, and that's the mistake. We tend to always start a mindset. We need to go further, because you can't change your mindset consistently and sustainably without understanding your beliefs behind the changes that you're going to make. And that should be the first question always. This is what I want to accomplish. How do I feel about that? Do I believe that I can, I don't know, let's say, stop smoking? That's a lot of people's New Year's resolution, right? So rather than say, I'm going to change my mindset and I'm just not going to do it, it should be, how do I feel about stopping? What are my beliefs behind it? Do I believe I can stop? And if you think, most people probably go, I probably won't even stop, and they've failed already, right? They're just trying to change your mindset, but it runs so deep, Pat. It runs so deep. And in all situations, for me, this is just my view on it. It all starts with the beliefs behind it in all aspects. And that's where the success lies.
And it's all about emotional energy. You know, I'm getting a little woo here, but
I love woo.
I have certainly transitioned from living a much more linear world to recognizing that the world is not at all linear. And that opens up, again, going back to beginner's mind, it opens up all sorts of possibilities and very creative possibilities, which I think is really exciting. And I think as you go through this journey, one of the opportunities that you have is to try to discover a purpose in your life. And that purpose may change over time a bit. But you said something earlier about going back to feeling like you did when you were young. And I think going back in time to connect with that authentic young child in us has a lot to do with really helping us find our purpose in life. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of us don't... A lot of us don't find our purpose because we are very conditioned into what we should be doing. So I see like these different levels of like, because there's either a job which you do for money, there's a career which you're normally pushed into or told you should do, you go to university, you do it. Parents, this is what you should be doing this to be a good member of society, all that. Then there's your purpose. After career, and that it's there's purpose, and then there's kind of the next level is kind of, you know, Sadhguru and stuff who travel the world talking to thousands, changing the world just through their words, and that's what many people won't get to that space, because you know there is a real world as well, you know, where it goes a lot deeper, which is probably another conversation in about 3 hours. But yeah, it's that third level. That's how I kind of see it. And I prompt it now, purpose, to find that, it's like you said, we need to strip down. And to strip down is to go back to who we truly are, right? Which is that inner child. Because that inner child, look, this is how we've been trained to look at things in life. We, to find our purpose or to get the right job or make the good money or do this or do that or be healthy and all sorts of stuff. It's always about adding things to life. It's always about adding. You need to add this to your life. You need to add this. You need to go and do this, go and do that. And it's not about adding things. This is why we're all in the hamster wheel of life, right? Because we do great things, then we go back to the old ways. But you know, it's up, down, or just round in circles or a roller coaster, however you wanna frame it. And that's because we add things. Now, think about when we were born. We were adventurous. We were just full of unconditional love. We were born with gratitude. You've seen how children act with each other, and they're so passionate and they're so loving to each other, you know, and they are so adventurous. And then as we go through life, we start learning. We learn how to be stressed. We learn how to be anxious. We learn how to react to situations. So going back to our conversation we had before, we learn it. So we're adding all these things into our life, all these learnings, these teachings from different people. And that's why we end up suffering. But we try and add on to that. We've learned all these things. So we need to remember that anything that we learn, we can unlearn. And go back to inner child, unlearn all that stuff, retain that feel, that essentially that inner child of non-judgment, unconditional love, adventure and curiosity. And then we can start adding the things that we align with. And that is where true sustainability lies when it comes to our well-being, our mental, physical, spiritual well-being. It's stripping back rather than adding all the stuff, and then we can make clear decisions from the heart, from a space of intuition rather than being stuck in our head. you know, always going with the analytical view, which seems like it makes sense. But the truth is we can't control anything. So we either go with our intuition, a place of knowing, or we go with the analytics because we've got evidence. But when we go with that ego mind, which is the analytical side, it's not living from the heart. It's living from a place of ego and learning. So when we can strip that away and go back and rebuild, that's what it's about. And that's where non-suffering really lies.
You know, it would be so nice if we had a formula for this. You know, you do this, 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 and you'll have this outcome. But it doesn't work that way, does it? And I think that you have to dive in wherever you are. And goes back to trust again. Trust the process that as you start on this path towards mind, body, spiritual health, the right things will come, will appear, and will help you in your evolution.
Absolutely. You know, we have so many great models, so many great practices that we can all use, but to put them into a kind of step plan would never work, because this is the beauty of spirituality. And it's one, it's about oneness, that we're all connected. But very importantly, most of us don't start off in a spiritual realm, right? Most of us don't. We learn it through our adversities and then we adapt to it. So everybody's story, everybody's journey is in a different place. And although we use the same type of tools, such as pranayama, meditation, different mindset tools, you know, learning about ego, intuition, and subconscious patterns, all that type of stuff, we all need to use these tools in a different way, because every one of us is unique and very special in our own way. So we have to adapt the same types of tools, just in very different ways, right? So it can never be a one way fits all, but that's a good thing. And that's really unique. And that's the beauty of this whole thing. It's, we are oneness. We are literally all connected, but also we need to find our true self, our true essence of who we are, this individual as well. And only then can we feel that connectivity, that oneness to the rest of the world, humanity, and the planet.
When or how did you first discover this experience of oneness?
I think it was most certainly when I started doing, I found a tribe, okay, a tribe of people, Bodhi Yoga Thailand, actually, and I'd already been part of other tribes, but this one in particular, I really connected to the person who runs Bodhi Yoga Thailand, and He's English, actually, and he's got a story, not the same story, but similar in terms of upbringing and all types of experiences. So I really connected to that, and it was his words, actually. He was the first person that ever mentioned the word consciousness and oneness to me, and I thought, I actually saw him first on Instagram, and he was talking about it, and he said, I thought, what does that mean? What is that? What does that mean? And I started reading into it and then reading The Power of Now.
Oh, that's a great book, isn't it?
Exactly. And things like that. And then I became connected to a whole load of people within this tribe. And that's when I started to get the what I've been saying I get all the time now, the goosebumps, and that knowing that we are fully connected. And it was through that understanding of how consciousness works, and it was it was basically that day, that word, the word consciousness and my understanding of it that day that took me deeper. And then I just kept feeling lighter. It's really hard to explain it. I just kept feeling lighter with it. And then more, I felt like layers. As I learned more about consciousness, I felt like layers were literally being peeled off. Like peeling a vegetable or something. There was layers of me just falling off. This is the only way I can explain it. Until I literally had, like, during meditation, I had this feeling. So I started doing this meditation where basically you go through it's a meditation I actually use now for clients. And what you do is you go through a relaxation process, and then you actually leave your physical body. So you visualize leaving your physical body in a meditation pause, and you connect to that lightness, that feeling of nothingness, and you are just consciousness. And you literally go through this meditation as nothing. There's no form. It's just as you are, as we are awareness. That's all we are. We aren't this form or anything else. We are just consciousness. And you float up, and it's very visual, going through the clouds, the skies, noticing the planets, the galaxies, and watching it from this space of you're just nothing. And it's quite hard to explain in that way, but you are not seeing any type of form. And it was that point that I realized in that moment, in that meditation, that we are all connected. There is nothing between us. There's always something connecting us. Like all of this, even though this isn't, we can't see anything, there's stuff here. We're connected. We're all touching. And we are oneness. Everything is connected. And it was that point that during that meditation, I can't remember whether it was the second or third time that I did it, but that was the first time I felt like I wasn't this individual form. I literally was consciousness, and we were all consciousness. We were just in a human experience. And that's how I see it now. And that's what made me feel fully connected and at one with absolutely everything. I didn't have any connection to animals or anything before. Not one bit. And literally I feel like now, like, again, I'm getting a bit woo-woo, but it's just my life. This is the reality of it. And when I connect to animals, if I see animals now, I feel like there's a connection. I feel a connection to anyone and anything. Even animals, plants, because I take time to experience things, right? If I'm sat down, I'm not sat there on my phone or overthinking. I'm looking at what's around me. I'm touching plants and flowers and just looking at them and looking at the intricacy and the beauty that we often miss. And it's all these little things that bring me closer and closer. It's always a journey. There's no finishing. There's no ending apart from, you know, whatever happens in the next life, if there is a next life. But it's always a journey. So even though I feel oneness and connection, it's always growing with more learning and more practice and more cultivation of just experiencing just the wonders of everything, right? And that's it. I think that was the long answer. I go into like really big answers because it just, like, you can see it just makes me smile. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be able to live simply, but get so much out of it, right? To be able to live in such a simple way is so wonderful, because the simple things in life, if we allow them and we are open to learn, they bring us so much joy, and not just superficial joy, like all the stuff we buy. I'm going to buy myself trainers to make myself feel better, you know, all that type of stuff. It's this real stuff. And, it's powerful.
Now, you bring up, too, the notion of a tribe, and I think that's so important, particularly when you want to change your life. Mm. You have to start hanging around people with good energy, and people who share your direction. And changing a tribe can be very hard, but I think it's one of the key pieces to people who successfully navigate bumps.
You'll know when you've got your tribe. It's like I said, I've done lots of different courses and been in different tribes, and it's okay if you're in one but you don't connect to it. It's all right to move on. There's nothing wrong with finding, feeling. You've got to really go with what's right, and you will find something that really resonates with you. It might just be two people. It might be one person. It might be 50 or 60 people. You know, they all constitute a tribe, but sometimes it takes time to find it. But when you do, you really know. And that really helps with that feeling of oneness, because suddenly you're in a space where people are, I guess you can say, thinking the same as you, and they're open to endless possibility, right? They're open to miracles, because miracles do happen, but most of us aren't open to miracles and that type of thinking. So when you find a tribe that is on that in that same process as you, or in that same thinking pattern as you, where anything is possible, you really connect to that, and it really raises your vibration in a massive way. So tribes are really good. Tribes are great, and it's okay. It's always okay to move on as well. Sometimes you do outgrow that tribe or them people, and we often see it as neglecting some people, or, you know, we can't move away because they did so much good stuff for us. And I would say, don't think like that, because you've got to go with what's in your heart, what's with your intuition. There's nothing wrong with moving on and growing. You know, we're allowed to grow, we're allowed to move on, we're allowed to change how we do things, you know. And that's part of life. And if we can understand that, moving on, because it aligns with who we are, is not you not being a good friend or a good, you know, a good work colleague. It's simply speaking and living your truth. As long as you do it in a nice way, a nice, respectful way, right?
Yeah. You know, if assume somebody's just lost in life, they don't know where they are. We've all been there. What advice would you have for them?
Wow, it's my advice to anybody that is really feeling lost and struggling is to try to allow yourself to open up to, I won't say anything, but what I mean is there's a sentence that we all say when we're struggling, and it's, I've tried everything, right? I've tried everything. And the truth is, we haven't tried everything. Every single one of my clients that comes to me says, I thought I'd tried everything. This is a last resort, because they have a misconception, woo-woo and all that sort of stuff. And it ends up being the shift, right? And it's all because of we put so many barriers on ourselves. So if anyone listens to this and they are struggling, just know that you're probably putting a lot of barriers on yourself. And as difficult as it is, you need to try and step over them barriers, or allow yourself to be open to people giving you support, people offering their love, and also new and different practices. That's the key to try and break down that first door and step forward. You've got to remember that anything that feels scary is a safety blanket, and we often keep ourselves outside of the fear because we feel safe. But that feeling of safety is holding us back from stepping into abundance and joy and love and happiness. And it just takes one second to make that move that you need to move, and your whole life can change. And that's all I can really say, because I don't want to, I never want to go into that trying to convince people to go into, to try and convince people to go into meditation and spirituality and pranayama breathwork and all that type of stuff. I will say I believe that these are the best practices for anyone because they connect us to what's inside. And I will always say that through my own experience. 100%, it's the base, it's the roots, I believe, to longevity, to sustainability, when it comes to our mental and emotional health. And we often miss it because we've tried everything, but we often haven't. So I hope that answers the question. Let yourself give yourself a bit of freedom to explore. That's what I can say. Give yourself freedom to explore. And be open, and you'll find the path that you need to find.
And that brings you right back to beginner's mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Beginner's mind.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.